Thank you for joining us today. This is Clint Byers, lead pastor of Forward Church. I pray this message blesses and encourages you. I hope it inspires transformative grace in your heart and establishes you even deeper in your new covenant identity in Christ. Now take a deep breath, become aware of God's Spirit within you, and enjoy the message. That's just a huge part of the calling of this church, is to rightly minister the character of God. We want to change the way you see God. We want to change the way that the world sees God. And specifically, reframe every belief about God in light of who Jesus represented God to be, how Jesus represented Him, how He treated people, and then what Jesus accomplished in His death, burial, and resurrection, the cross and Him crucified. Just like Paul, we feel like we're to focus on, you know, the cross is everything. It's absolutely everything. And if you get tired of it, then that means it's time for you to preach it. If you get tired of hearing this message, well, you know, we'll pray for you. But that just means it's time for you to step out and love and minister to people with it. Amen? Yeah. If you feel like you know the next thing that I'm about to say because you've heard these messages over and over and over and you're still sitting there wondering, well, okay, then multiply. It's time to multiply the message. Amen? And whatever it looks like for you, whatever it looks like for you. And this is really a major point that I like to focus on in terms of what this church is for. And me personally, as the pastor of this church, as Sarah and I pastoring this church, I'm not asking you to come here and serve my vision. I'm not asking you to come here and catch my vision so that this church can be built on your backs. I'm not interested in that. The church is us collectively together. And as you step into what you and your Father God deep in your heart passionately start to live out, then we collectively as a church are an amazing group of people united together, loving the world. Now, you know, and I realize for some people don't have this kind of entrepreneurial version of, well, I'm going to start this. And not everybody is supposed to have that. And not one is better than the other. You know, we read out of Corinthians a couple of weeks ago, the hand can't say to the toe, I don't need you. And sometimes people are just here to plug in, serve, be part of the family, be stability, be glue, be rocks, be foundational people that just kind of keep it together. That is invaluable alongside someone who has a specific idea of online community or mental health services or whatever it might be. So it's not that you got to figure out some entrepreneurial calling. It's just that I want you to be clear on where you are with God. I want you to have a personal vision of what it looks like for you from your relationship with the Father to serve God collectively, co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. And if that means you just plug in here and you serve on the worship team back there. Didn't Karen do a good job on sound back there today? Show her some love. She goes from one end of it to the other end of it. Was it last week that you sang? So good last week, you and Cody. Where's Cody? We'll have to get on him not coming to church today. I'm kidding. Travis, you did a good job training her. Good job. Appreciate it. Don't you show Travis some love over there. You get a clap. You get a clap. But collectively, and this is going to be like formally the last message in this series. Next week is Mother's Day. Yay, mothers. And we've got a special kind of panel set. Adam has some fun things that he's come up with. It's going to be fun. So come and make sure your mamas are here. Bring your mamas and we'll bless them. It's going to be good stuff. You're going to hear from some mamas. So today will be kind of the last message in this, but I will continue to talk about just overall vision because we do have this building project. And let me just say this, if this is your church, I would ask you to consider set up a regular donation into the church fund, $5, $500, $5,000, whatever it might be. Special shout out to, there's a couple, and I've mentioned them a few times, a couple up in Tennessee that are doing 1,000 or more toward the building fund every month. The couple that was down here from Florida a couple of weeks ago. You know, it's just God is doing this thing. And last week, at the end of the message last week, and I think I'll do a specific video, because I know this series, I've kind of woven everything together in terms of the church and then you finding your calling and vision. So there, I will do a couple of videos that are super clear about just where we're going, where we stand financially, what we're looking at. We're not going to bring in a big board with a thermometer on it and pressure you every week to fill the thermometer. You know, we're just going to trust God together. Amen. And I feel like the online community, and I will encourage you guys, if you feel like that this is your church or you really believe in what God's doing through this place, give. And I'm not going to dangle some carrot that you're going to get some cookie from God in heaven just because you sowed into this ministry, but God loves it when you give cheerfully. I mean, He absolutely loves it when you give and you're thankful in your giving. You're not under any kind of obligation. You're not cursed if you don't tithe or give. Tithing is not even really a New Covenant thing. Tithing was to fund the Levitical priesthood because their focus was to continually offer sacrifices as the forgiveness for the nation of Israel. Well, we have the once and for all sacrifice for sin, so we don't need to fund a temple to continue sacrifices to appease for our sins because they're all forgiven already anyway. Amen. That's what it was for, to fund the temple. Now it turns into, we want to sow into the gospel. And sometimes that means you send somebody to Zambia. Sometimes that means you help pay for some hospital bills. Sometimes that means you pay some family's rent. Sometimes that means you sow into your church, if this is your congregation, right? And we do it cheerfully. There are spiritual elements to generosity and giving that help our heart trust God. And I'm going to talk about that kind of stuff in a couple of weeks. But it's like, you know, if you believe in what's happening here, then I would encourage you to pray and see how God would lead you to sow regularly into the building fund, which you can do through the website and go back and watch. All the announcements are there. And, you know, we're not going to reserve front row seats for the high dollar givers. Nobody sits on the front row anyway, but vet guests do. But it's just, you know, let's do this thing, right? But you're free and you're unburdened. But the more you learn generosity, the more it teaches your heart to trust God. Like actually giving generously, not begrudgingly, but thankfully, actually instructs your heart to start to trust God. Because it doesn't make any sense for you to give away a fixed percentage of your income regularly, but then be positioned to actually receive more from the Lord God, your provider. Like naturally, carnally, that makes no sense. But that shows you that it's a spiritual thing. It's a matter of the heart. And it's not God, and you can't manipulate God by giving, and then now He has to give to you and all that nonsense, you know. I'm excited to go more into that. But to wind this message down, and I'm going to try and do it in 4 minutes. You think I can do it in 4 minutes? The baby just came in, so I definitely can't do it in 4 minutes. But it's a very simple concept, and it's really kind of wrapped up in this. The title of this message is Known by Our Love. This is my desire for you to experience in this community and for us to all put our hand to regarding this church community. And that includes our online people as well. And that is that we love well, that we love one another well to the degree that this type of passage right here becomes manifest in our body. This is Jesus, John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you that you love one another. Say, love one another. As I have loved you. Now, it's easy to love sweet people who are going through difficult times. And Casey posts up, hey, Andy's got this prayer. And Glenn grabbed his hold of his hand and was just speaking life into that hand in full function so you can twist that throttle again. Sorry. She says, uh-uh. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Loving to the degree that this happens, a new commandment I give to you, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not the big sweeping move of God. It's not the unique thing that's happening at some church out there somewhere that everybody has to go pour to. It's not the bubbling up of revival, and then you get to steward this move of God. Praise God for moves of God. I'm not trying to minimize any of that kind of stuff. But if we want to have a revival, if we want to actually see a nation recognize God, it's we love one another. You know, I mean, Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh. He's the logic of God. When Jesus speaks, He's telling you how God thinks. He's telling you how God would do things. He is God in the flesh showing us how things are done. And He never says, when you guys all get spiritual enough and start doing miracles, then the world will believe. When you guys all learn the Bible, then the world will believe. What does He say? As you love one another, they're going to know that you're my disciples. And then He prays this. This is beautiful. This is before He lets Himself be arrested. John 17, 20. And this chapter, the whole chapter is, if it's not, I mean, Colossians 1 and 2 and John 17, there's just anchors for me. And this shows me the heart of Christ on our behalf. And it's so powerful. And I talk about this quite a bit. In fact, I think a few months ago, I may have given you the homework to go home and read John chapter 17. Go very slowly through it. Read every word in there and pay attention. See the heart of Jesus. See the heart of God. And then see yourself in it and see the body uniting together to make an effect in the earth. Because what I'm talking about today is just this big idea of the community, a church body, loving one another to the degree that we are a testimony to people that we follow Jesus because of our love for one another. Oh yeah, those corny Christians over there, you know, I don't know about all those giraffes on a boat, and I don't know about that 6-day literal creation thing, but the way they love each other, that's something in that, because humans can't do that. I see the world and it's broken and divided, and there's other religions that value death. This group of people values love, and people are craving that. We're built for it. We are wired spiritually, genetically to desire community and love, because God is love. We are hardwired to be called back into relationship with the Father. And that's a big part of our job, is to go out and announce the finished work of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, that God is no longer holding your sins against you. Now be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5, down toward the end, 17 through 21. Go read that too. Add that to your homework list. Somebody make a note of that. Homework, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. John 17, read, meditate, let it speak to you. And specifically in the 1 Corinthians section, 2 Corinthians? I may be confused. Anyway, 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 5. He says, Paul's preaching, Paul's writing, and he says, I implore you in Christ's stead. So you in place of Christ here. So in other words, we're all popes. I'll let that sink in for a moment. In other words, you represent God in the earth. You are the vicar of Christ in the earth. You are. I implore you in Christ's place, because that's what Catholics believe. Should I? Yes, no, listen. Y'all good? Catholics believe that the Pope is here instead of Christ on their behalf, and they go through him. Anyway, maybe you didn't know that. Or I'm just being condescending. Could be one or the other. But anyway, we are here in Christ's place representing God to go into the world and tell people God is no longer holding your sins against you. Be reconciled to God. Now, does that mean you just go out and continue in sin? No. Romans 6, no. How can you live any longer in sin now that grace has set you free and this power is available to strengthen you to live well within this righteousness? But if we want to make an impact in the earth, it's our love for one another, birthed in our unity with Christ, our unity with the Father. And because of that, our love for one another is a sign to the world. Now, watch this, read this. And I've highlit some words here. John 17, 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Say, that's me. You have believed in Christ through their word. And, you know, maybe you died and an angel started taking you to heaven, and that's how you believe too. So we'll let that have passed. Those near-death experience situations, or it'll mess with your theology, I'm going to tell you. But those people meet Jesus. All right, 21. That they all may be one. Say, they all may be one. Who? Those who have believed. Say, that's me. That they may all be one as, how one with each other? As you, Father, are in me. How united do you think the Father and the Son are? That's his prayer, that we are that united. Not just church and church and church and, you know, kind of little clusters and separatists, but the entire body of Christ around the whole planet. Now, only the Spirit of God can do that. But that's what he's seeking to lead us into. But it starts with you individually recognizing you are as one with each other as the Father is with the Son. We are family. We are connected. We are the body. And it is the enemy who will creep in and say, well, you know, you don't quite fit in. You're the toe and they're a bunch of hands and they don't really need toes over there in that church. You're the pretty nose and they don't really need those over there. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? The voice of the enemy will creep in. And if you already have some limiting beliefs or some self-doubt about yourself or maybe some low self-worth or insecurities or some trauma due to some injustices that were imposed upon you and you have a hard time connecting with people in general, man, I'm telling you, the enemy will just twist that. It's like reinforcing those thoughts. He can't put thoughts in your mind, but they recognize that that's how you think and will echo that stuff. It's like a radio frequency that your heart is tuned to be reinforced. Don't do that. Don't let yourself be taken out of the picture because you feel like you don't fit in, because they all already know each other. They all have their own thing going on. They all really seem established in ministry. That guy can quote the books of the Bible in order. This is that. Whatever it is that divides us, it's not true. It's not real. What Christ prays is that we would know how one we are with each other, and it is as one as Christ is with the Father. You can't get more one. And then watch what happens. So I pray, this is Jesus praying. This is the heart of Jesus praying for us, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they also may be one in us. It's just this one big unity thing. That the world may believe that you sent me. Now let me just spell it out. The fruit of us recognizing that we are as one with each other, as the Father is with the Son, and that we are as one with God, as Christ is with God, and we are one together in Christ, in the Father, unified, that the world may believe that you sent me. Why? Because us recognizing, us supporting one another, us strengthening one another, us encouraging one another, us forgiving one another, us believing the best about each other, us going to bat for each other, having each other's backs, being there. Whatever it might look like, how can you love? As we do that, the world believes. It's very powerful. It's very powerful. Pray. Move in the gifts of the Spirit. Move in miracles, move in power, because that's part of what we get to do as disciples and followers of Christ. But that's not a big sweeping healing revival is not going to cause the world to believe. It creates, Jesus did that and they wanted to kill him. I'm not trying to say and minimize it, but I'm just saying, you guys know, you've been in some circles where it's all about that. They prioritize performance, prioritize, you know, the move and the big thing. I want to prioritize community. Because as we prioritize community, it builds unity. Unity strengthens love, and love causes the world to believe. Specifically, your love for one another. I'm telling you, you want to serve? Figure out how you can serve your church body. Yeah. Get to know some people. Pray for them. Know what's going on in their lives. And sometimes we're prickly, and we need people to push through our barriers. Anybody need prickly people out there? Nobody wants to admit to that. Christina, you're not prickly. She raised her hand back there. I love it. So verse 22. And then he goes even further. This is in phenomena, as if that wasn't amazing enough. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them. What? the glory. Now, you got to remember, at the beginning of this chapter, Jesus prays and he says, I'm ready to take back the glory that I had with you before I came here. Then he says, the glory which you've given me, I give to them. You just kind of sit and think about that for a little while. To me, where my mind goes, it's to those who believe in him, he gives the right to be the children of God, that we are joint heirs with Christ, that Christ has all authority in heaven and earth, and he's given us the keys to the kingdom. You know, where does your mind go? You're not God. You're not going to become a God. You're not going to die and get other planets to rule, because how many wives you have in this earth? No ex-Mormons in the room? Okay. And the glory which you've given me, I've given them. So in other words, as you move through this earth and you recognize I'm a child of God, I represent the kingdom. I have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within me, and you do as well. And I love you because of that. In spite of you, because Christ is in you, I'm going to get over my stuff with you so that we can love well so that the world will believe. And what do? As charismatics, a lot of times, we're focused on the power and the gifts and the miracles. That stuff just comes. That's a byproduct. When you're actively moving in love towards someone to be a blessing to them and show them the love of God for them, and you discover, oh, I need to pray for a miracle right now. Good thing I've got the same power in me that Christ did, so let's make that happen. But that's not the primary thing. Jesus was moved with compassion and then healed. It's simple, but I'm telling you, part of the vision, and this is one thing that I'm asking you to catch the vision on, and that is a loving community. And what's your part? If this is your church, what's your part to be part of that loving community, to get past what may separate you, to get past the things that you feel like might disqualify you, or maybe I don't fit in, maybe this, I'm not quite sure. You know, and if you're still trying to figure some things out, that's fine. Take your time. Take all the time you need. But I am asking you one thing, if this is your church. Two things. Maybe, probably a few things. Sow into the building fund. But there's no condemnation if you don't, and there's no special promises if you do. You might get a brick in the floor, I don't know. We'll see. But love. And love means you got to deal with your stuff to love. Are you prioritizing community? Are you prioritizing love? Can I share what you shared, Jim, about being, about dinner? About, you know what I'm talking about? Josh and Marielle here, the Diker Haas, we love them. You guys are awesome. They invited Jim over for dinner, and Jim said, that's the first family that's invited me over for dinner. And I, you know, I'm like, felt kind of bad, but then also thought how sweet that was and so amazing. And what did that mean to you?
I've been going here 8 years, and
that
meant the world.
We could do better, right? We've eaten together before.
But,
yeah. But it's like, ooh, so you've provoked unto jealousy unto good works, right? I mean, seriously, that's how it works. It's like, ooh, man, I want to, you know. So now I know what's going to happen. We're going to have an inviting over to dinner revival. And I'm not trying to manipulate or any of that kind of stuff. It just was an example.
I'll bring the steaks.
You'll bring the steaks? Let's see, when you free? Yeah. And it's, you know, that might seem minimal, but bonds get created. You know, so here's the thing. At a surface level, that kind of stuff is sweet and other people see it and they appreciate it. But at a deeper level, it creates bonds, that those bonds will carry you through things together. There's a love and a unity that comes from prioritizing community that then sets up the opportunity to do amazing ministry together. Did you follow me through that? A lot of times, a lot of communities are prioritizing moves and gifts and revivals and certain gifts. And it's like the people kind of get overlooked, or the people kind of feel like, oh, well, I need to do that in order to fit in. I need to do that in order to fit in. I want to be a place that prioritizes community because it gives us the opportunity to have unity and connect at a deeper level, that you fall in love with each other, You value and you honor Christ in each other, and that relationship then bears ministry opportunities, because that's how it works. Now, we can just overtly do things, ministry things together, and we will and we do. But I'm telling you, man, that those connections will carry you through things. That's when you find out what's on other people's hearts, and then because they share that passion and you share that passion because you've taken the time to prioritize community, then you've got a partner, you've got somebody that you're going to do this stuff with, versus at the surface level feeling like you always wanted to, but you know, it just creates this undergirding structure based on us being one with the Father in Christ, one with each other, the side benefit the world will believe, and then we work together and represent Christ in this earth by our love for one another. It's just, it's so simple, it's got to be a God idea. So, you know, pay attention to how that, let me finish this. And the glory which you've given me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now that word perfect means whole. So in other words, whole, brought into whole relationships or wholeness of heart. So, and again, I in them and you in me, that they may be whole in one, that the world may know that you've sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. How much do you think God loves Jesus? How much do you think the Heavenly Father of all creation loves the Son? Our unity should show the world that God loves them as much as the Father loves the Son. You want a goal of ministry? You want a vision for your life? You want to figure out a passion? Figure out how you can love people. And one of the ways is loving one another, because, and it's not just your act of bringing somebody to dinner, but it's what happens in that that then produces motion and touching the world around. And we all can do that. And then in the process, you got the Holy Spirit that will work these things through you. So prioritize community. Unity breeds ministry. Performance breeds competition. I don't want to set up an environment of competition. We want to prioritize community rather than performance. And then just the final idea, community produces unity. Unity produces love. Love produces fruit. And the love that we want to see is that the world believes that God sent Jesus for them too. It's just true. So find some people, you know, get to know some people. Find some people. Here's what's interesting too. Humans, we kind of are attracted to people of like-mindedness, you know. It's kind of like on the negative side, you put 100 people in a room together and two of them are drunks, those drunks are going to find each other. You put somebody that's got a broken heart and they believe that they need to be abused in a relationship, guess what kind of mate they're going to attract to them. But you put people in a room together that have a passion to go into prison ministry, or have a passion to stand on the corner and hold signs, or have a passion to feed this, or whatever it might be, and there's no passion greater than the other, you'll find each other, but you got to get to know each other first. And man, we love our phones. Check your screen time. Can I see your screen time? You guys know what screen time is? Your phone will tell you how much you've been on your screen. Let me just tell you, be prepared if you don't know. So what is, you know, what's in this? What's in this? Let's be known by our love for one another so the world will believe. This is what we're after. We want the world to believe, don't you? Now, we are going to continually always build you up in who you are in Christ, this church. We will always sow into and remind you of what Christ did for you and who you are as a result of that. And always undergird that. Always preaching to your spirit man, that perfected side of who you are that can do this, that can receive healing, that can move in the power, that can experience freedom from your past, that can be healed, all that kind of stuff. But then as you grow, as you develop a heart for people and you do want to see the lost come in. I want to see the lost saved. This church is mostly used to recover people kind of from a religious mindset, or we have people coming out of denominationalism that want a little bit more of a Holy Spirit expression but still grounded in the Word, or oftentimes too, people that come out of a real hyper-charismatic expression and want some more grounding in the Word. You know, we kind of ended up being ministering mostly to Christians, but I think the time is coming where we'll be used to bring in the lost, because it'll be a healthy environment to disciple them and minister to them and bring them to a place of wholeness. You know, I want to see that. Evangelists rise up, but we all do as well. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. It's really profound to me that unity within a community, loving one another, shows the world that we follow Jesus, and then that compels the world to believe that God sent Jesus for them too. Do you see it? And I'm not going to spell out the step one, step two, step three, but just let that pour into your heart. Let God, do your homework. Read 2 Corinthians 5, the end of it, and read John chapter 17, and let it minister to you. And it is the commandment of Jesus. You want to obey God? Love one another. You want to obey God? Who wants to obey God? Love one another. And then that sets on fire this course that ends with the world believing. Can you do that? Can the Holy Spirit do that through you? And what does it look like for you? I'm going to challenge you. Even right now, think. What's a step I can take in this? And I'm not trying to sell you on this church or plug you into our programs. I mean for you and your life. And this community's here for you. Amen.